All right, on this week's edition of the Sword of the Spirit podcast, it's the end of the month of June. And what I want to start doing here on the show is at the end of the month, taking a look back at the last month and some of the current events that we saw take place in this insane world. It's coming up next. June 29, 2020. It's 8 o'clock Eastern Time, or I'm sorry, Central Time. I'm still used to being in the Eastern Time Zone. It's where I've lived the majority of my life. 8 o'clock Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on YouTube.com/BenTheBaptist. Welcome, everybody, to this weekly live stream here on my channel. It is called The Sword of the Spirit podcast. This is Benjamin Naim here with you all. I'm a church member at Steadfast Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, pastored by Jonathan Shelley. There's a lot to get to tonight. Like I said before the intro, I want to do a show like this at least once a month, but towards the end of the month where I'm looking back at the current events that transpired throughout the month. And there's a lot to get to. Like I said, the Supreme Court ruled on abortion, but they went the wrong way, which proves it doesn't matter whether you put, quote, conservative judges in there or not. Most of the time, they're just going to go with the leftist narrative, and that's what they did. They threw out a Louisiana abortion clinic limit. I'll talk about that. Of course, Aunt Jemima is now offensive. You can't buy Aunt Jemima syrup anymore because that's racist, because it's hateful, because it's offensive. And in today's politically correct world, Aunt Jemima has been banned. They're changing the name and removing the image based on what they deem to be a racial stereotype. Also, Eskimo Pie is renaming its, quote, derogatory brand name. I'll talk about that, as well as some news on censorship and more. Plus, at the end, we're going to have some fun. I got a funny song to play that I'm looking forward to. Hello to everybody in the chat room. Amanda Lay is in there from Ontario, Canada. Hello to Amanda. Also, Braden Clock from Perth, Ontario. So we got a couple of Canadians, my neighbors to the north, who are tuning in to see what's going on in America. Because most of these stories do have something to do with the United States. But you know what? Canada doesn't have it much better with that effeminate Justin Trudeau running the show there in the north. And everyone else filing in, thanks for tuning in. 80 shares in the chat room coming to us from Minnesota. I appreciate you tuning in to the show. Let's start things off with some bad news, unfortunately. But the Supreme Court just threw out a Louisiana abortion clinic limit. And guess what the decided, or I'm sorry, guess who the deciding vote came down to? It was Chief Justice Roberts, a so-called Republican, because he's a neocon. He is not really a conservative. A divided Supreme Court on Monday struck down a Louisiana law regulating abortion clinics, reasserting a commitment to abortion rights over fierce opposition from dissenting conservative justices in the first big abortion case of the Trump era. Chief Justice Justin Roberts and his four more liberal colleagues ruled that a law that requires doctors who perform abortions must have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals violates abortion rights, the courts first announced in the landmark Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. Now, let me make myself clear. This isn't anywhere near enough. In fact, I think that's garbage. The Supreme Court needs to make a ruling yesterday. Not today, not tomorrow, yesterday. They need to make a ruling saying abortion is illegal in this country if we want to have a shot at turning the tide in America and stemming God's judgment. But that's not what's happening. Instead, we have milquetoast abortion limits that are being struck down by the wicked, devil-worshipping Supreme Court, with the deciding vote coming down to a so-called conservative, a so-called Republican, a fake Republican, rhino, neocon, hack, sellout, Chief Justice Roberts, who should be run out of the court as fast as possible. Not going to happen, though. Donald Trump, who we all know how conservative he is, I guess, he's going to have to replace one of these liberal judges when their time is up. But I don't trust him to put somebody in there that's actually hardcore that'll make a difference. Brett Kavanaugh, who everybody was flipping out about when he was voted in, is milquetoast, okay? If you really want real change in this country, it's not going to happen at the Supreme Court level. It's going to happen at the local New Testament church level. That's where it's going to have to start, at least. But anyway, the key vote, it says here, belonged to Roberts, who had always voted against abortion rights before, including a 2016 case, but evidently has decided to flip and sell out and bow the knee to the leftist establishment, because that's what these people do. Now, if we were living in under a biblical society, what would happen to every single abortion doctor is they would be taken out and stoned to death. They would be executed, according to Exodus chapter 21 and verses 22 and 23. And I've read that so many times on this podcast, I'm not going to take time to do it again. You can look it up for yourself. But that's what would happen with these murderers, with these disgusting, vile animals whose careers revolve around murdering the most innocent lives imaginable, that being babies. And this country loves death so much, which is why we have even milquetoast limits against abortion getting struck down by the Supreme Court. I want to read a scripture for you guys out of the book of Proverbs, which I think illustrates the problem with abortion advocates and the problem with America in and of itself. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 36, it says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." All they that hate God love death. And those who hate God seem to also love abortion. That's not a coincidence, because abortion is death. Being pro-abortion means being pro-death. It means celebrating death. It means celebrating murder. It means celebrating that which is vile, that which is violent, that which is disgusting, that which is satanic. God poured out his wrath on Israel and Judah because they engaged in this sort of wickedness. It was so wicked that it didn't even come into God's mind, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah. But it's come to America's mind, and not only do we enable women to do this, we celebrate it. Not only does this country enable women to walk into an abortion clinic and have their unborn baby ripped out of the womb, but that is branded as a woman's right. It's a civil rights issue. That's where we're at right now. And that's where we're going to continue to be unless there's a major change. But when there is change in this country, it's not change for the better. It's fake change designed for people to virtue signal on social media and for multinational corporations to pander to minority groups and virtue signal in front of the world to make it appear as if they're loving and tolerant. And that's exactly what we see happening with this Aunt Jemima controversy, if you even want to call it that. I'll put this on your screen, and this right here will highlight how much of a clown world we live in right now. Aunt Jemima changing name, removing image based on a racial stereotype from packaging. Because you see, it's a black woman on the cover, and we must get rid of that because it's going to offend all black people. This is the mental illness of the hyper-political correct culture. I'm going to play this for you here. You'll have to excuse the weird music. Parent company Quaker Oats has announced that Aunt Jemima is being rebranded. Acknowledging, look how good those pancakes look. I'm going to pause that for a minute and just admire. You know, there's nothing better than some pancakes with, look how much, the syrup is just being, for those of you listening on the podcast, you can't see it on your screen, but the syrup is being poured on there like crazy. Whoever's pouring the syrup on these pancakes is definitely a hardcore syrup lover. I'll just leave it at that. When I eat pancakes, I put this much syrup on it. I'll admit it. Yes, I'm that guy. I like my sides. I like my toppings, rather. And with respect to syrup, I like a lot of syrup. But I guess when I go out and buy Aunt Jemima, it's not going to have Aunt Jemima on it anymore. It's going to be totally rebranded with a new name, new image, everything like that, because heaven forbid a black lady appears on the cover. That might just make things go in a bad direction for America. It's not the abortion I just talked about. It's not the destruction of the nuclear family unit that is plaguing black communities. It's not the drugs and the crime and the alcohol and the lack of any conservative godly values. None of that actually matters. The lack of traditional values. Again, the destruction of the family unit. Abortion running rampant, Planned Parenthood clinics strategically placed in their communities to systematically destroy the black baby population. No, that doesn't actually matter. What really matters is the branding on the cover of a syrup bottle. Remember what I said, hyper-political correctness is mental illness. There's no other way to describe it. It's an attack on how we communicate, all to propagate virtue signaling corporations who don't actually care about black people. Aunt Jemima, after 131 years, PepsiCo is retiring the controversial brand name. It's not controversial to anyone who's normal. It might be to these basket cases who call themselves social justice warriors and can barely tie their own shoelaces. I'm sure for them it's controversial, but not for anyone who has a brain. Aunt Jemima is being rebranded, it says here in the article. It was announced on Wednesday morning that the line of pancake mix syrup and other breakfast foods will debut a new look as part of Quaker's push to, quote, make progress toward racial equality. Because when I think racial equality, I think the branding on the cover of a syrup bottle. When I think of what's really going wrong with black communities today, it's not abortion, it's not divorce rates, it's not children being born out of wedlock, it's syrup bottles, everybody! As if that wasn't enough, how about this? Eskimo pie. This is the religion of the left. This is the religion of political correctness. This is the religion of identity politics. Eskimo pie to rename its derogatory brand name. Oh, it's just so offensive. It just hurts my feelings so much. Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream is rebranding Eskimo Pie for racial sensitivity. Let's scroll down here. The owner of Eskimo Pie is changing
food prices.
Oh, sorry about that. Eskimo Pie is changing the name. The owner is changing its name and marketing of the nearly century-old chocolate-covered ice cream bar. Because you see, for 100 years, Eskimo Pie was perfectly fine. It wasn't offensive. It wasn't insensitive. But now in 2020, all of a sudden, it is. All right. The latest brand to reckon with racially charged logos and marketing. It says right here is a quote. We are committed to being a part of the solution on racial... You know what? I should just read this in NPC voice. Because that's what these people are. They're non-player characters. They're NPC robots with no personality. They're disingenuous. They don't care about black people. If they did, they would promote godly values and soul-winning and Bible-believing Baptist churches. But no, they don't care. They don't care about minorities at all. So here's what how this quote actually should read from this NPC, Elizabeth Marquez, the head of marketing. We are committed to being a part of the solution on racial equality and recognize the term is derogatory. This move is part of a larger review to ensure our company and brands reflect our people values. This is how you must speak if you are to be a model citizen in 2020. You must stand against racism. I believe Black Lives Matter. I am not a racist. I am loving and tolerant. I love everyone. And there you have it, folks. Eskimo Pie, gonna rebrand. Well, hopefully the new name they come up with is better than this one, because that's what everyone knows them for, is making ice cream. But they also know them as Eskimo Pie. So I'm sure they might have some sales problems here. Might dip a little bit as people get used to the new name. I don't know. Who cares? Let's move on to the next story. This is stupid. Again, illustrates that we live in clown world, where something like this is actually news. But on this podcast, I wanted to go over what's been going on in the month of June. And what we have seen occur is further censorship on social media. And I'm against censorship, even if it's against people who I might not necessarily align with completely, because I think that social media should be a place for everyone to contribute their ideas. And then I do believe that if it is a free market of ideas, that the best ideas will win. Now, of course, the globalists, those who are in charge of these social media conglomerates, they know that inherently. They understand that the best ideas win, which is why instead of allowing people to engage in an arena of structured discussion on Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms, YouTube, etc., they're banning those who refuse to regurgitate the sanitized corporate media narrative. Reddit bans the underscore Donald forum of nearly 800,000 Trump fans over abusive posts. There's plenty of things I don't like about Donald Trump. I've ranted against him before. I despise his Zionism. I despise the fact that he's pro-sodomite. He put out a tweet a few months ago, it was, where he claimed that he wanted to help decriminalize sodomy all over the planet. I stand against that. But you know what? I do think that his fans deserve the right to be on Reddit too. But it got banned. Reddit announced on Monday that it's shutting down a forum dedicated to President Trump's most ardent fans, saying it repeatedly violates the online platform's rules against harassment, hate speech, and content manipulation. Because anything that is not progressivism is designated as hate speech and harassment. I've looked at the underscore Donald many times just to see what's going on in the news. And you know what? I didn't see any hate speech. I didn't see harassment. I didn't see content manipulation. Unless they count them making fun of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton as harassment. But we should have the right to do that on a platform such as Reddit. The community forum known as a subreddit was called the underscore Donald and had nearly 800,000 users. Trump himself has been known to share memes that posted to the underscore Donald and other parts of Reddit. So it was a large community for political conservatives. Here's the thing. Donald Trump should step up and do something about his own supporters being censored on Reddit and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and every other platform. He does nothing unless it actually impacts him. We saw him sign an executive order which would potentially maybe make a difference, but it didn't go nearly as far as I wanted it to. My point is, though, I believe there are things he could do. Why don't we break up the monopoly that is the social media conglomerates as a whole? Why don't we force them to brand themselves as publishers if they're going to act as publishers? I'll have more on that in a little bit. But Donald Trump, I think, could be doing more to protect his own supporters from getting censored. He's not doing it. Why is that? Well, you look at his cabinet. It's filled with swamp creatures. When he ran on draining the swamp, he ended up hiring swamp. You know, he's complaining right now about John Bolton, who put out a book in which he attacks Trump. And I bet that book is full of lies. Because when the New World Order attacks Donald Trump, guess what? They come up with a bunch of false allegations and crap. The Russia investigation was crap. The impeachment scandal was crap. I will defend Trump when it's warranted. I will attack him when it's warranted. But my point is that Trump's the one who hired John Bolton. Why put that guy in your cabinet if he's a snake? Well, it's because Trump's controlled. It's because he's controlled by special interests. Here's InfoWars. I wanted to show you guys this article right here. Speaking of censorship, YouTube bans Stefan Molyneux, host of the largest philosophy channel on the platform. Suspension comes amidst coordinated purge of dissident voice on several big tech platforms. I'm not very familiar with Stefan Molyneux, to be honest with you guys. I have seen a few of his videos. He seems like a smart guy who's got a good head on his shoulders and certainly knows how to articulate himself for sure. YouTube censored his YouTube channel, however. The article reads, YouTube censored the YouTube channel of author and philosopher Stefan Molyneux Monday amidst a massive crackdown on free speech on major big tech platforms such as Twitch, Reddit, and Twitter. Multiple channels that complied with YouTube's terms of service were banned Monday morning, the most prominent being Stefan Molyneux, host of Free Domain Radio. And here he is tweeting, hoping that people will raise awareness to YouTube to get his channel back. I wouldn't hold your breath on that one, Molyneux, because they will, with impunity, just ban whoever they want, and it doesn't matter. They are not accountable to anyone but themselves. YouTube is an unaccountable corporation, or Google, rather, is an unaccountable corporation that can deplatform anyone it deems to be a dissident voice. The Communist Chinese do this all the time. In fact, Communist China has a social credit score, where if you post things online that aren't very nice with respect to the government, they will assign you with a low social credit score. And when they do that, you lose certain quote-unquote privileges. For example, you can't use public transportation. And I think that's a system that we're going to see incorporated in the West, where if you post things on social media that don't exactly jive with the fake news, well, guess what? You're going to be assigned a low social credit score. We already have a credit score right now for your credit card usage. Well, this will be for your social media usage. If you're not pro-sodomite, if you're not pro-feminist, if you're not pro-Marxist, if you're not pro-BLM, if you're not pro-politically correct culture, well, they'll assign you with that low score, and all of a sudden you can't fly, you can't use public transportation, perhaps you can't even buy or sell. Maybe that's how they'll incorporate the mark of the beast. I don't know. But that's the direction we're going down, in my opinion. Now, you say, what can we do about censorship? Well, I do think there is something that can be done, okay? The thing is, I don't buy this idea that Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, that they have the authority to kick off whoever they want from their platform based on political or religious views. Most people say, well, they're private companies. I don't believe they're a private company. One of the founders of Google, Sergey Brin, virtually reported to the Pentagon / CIA while developing the project, while developing the Google platform. That is courtesy of thedailybell.com, which has a great article about this. So I do believe there's government involvement in the rise of social media, for sure, which I think hurts the private company argument. Also, these platforms, they operate as publishers, yet they've been designated as platforms, which allows them to circumvent legalities that would hold them accountable for what's been posted on their website. Here's what I mean by that. If I were to write something in a book that was blatantly untrue, that was a railing accusation, let's say hypothetically, I wrote a book about Pastor Jonathan Shelley, and this book contained lies about him. Well, Pastor Shelley could, if he wanted to, sue the publisher of that book for damages, because the publisher is held liable for what they publish. social media for a long time, up until this point, has hid behind a legality that allows them to subvert such lawsuits. And what I mean by that is they are designated as platforms, not publishers. And so as such, they cannot be sued for one individual lying about another individual on their platform. They cannot be held responsible for what's been posted on their website because they're a platform. But here's the problem. They're not operating as a platform. They're operating as a publisher because they regulate what people post on there. If you post a political opinion they don't like, they ban you. If you post a Bible verse they don't like, they ban you. If you post a sermon that they deem as hate speech, they ban you. Just ask Pastor Steven Anderson, who right now has his YouTube channel, S. Anderson 1611, under quarantine, no pun intended, with all this COVID-19 craziness going on, because of, quote, hate speech, because he has a couple of strikes on the channel right now, and so he can't actually use it. Hundreds of thousands of subscribers subscribe to this channel that he spent over a decade building up. He has a large audience on there. Again, spent over a decade building it up, and right now in danger of losing it because YouTube doesn't like the Bible, because YouTube hates God, because the people in charge of YouTube hate God. Who's in charge of YouTube? A woman. Wow, big shocker. But anyway, so you have these platforms operating as publishers by regulating what people post on there, taking down sermons, taking down posts they don't like, that don't jive with PC culture. And so they can't hide behind that platform designation. They need to be forced into designating themselves as publishers. But here's the thing. They don't want that, because if they're a publisher, they can be held liable for what's been posted, and they will face, as a result, lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. Obviously, they don't want that. So if you want to remain a platform, I'm all for that. But you know what? If you want to remain a platform, then you must act as a platform, which means you can't ban people for having an opinion that you don't like. You can't ban people for being Christian. You can't ban people for loving God. You can't ban people for holding a certain point of view on the sodomites if you're a platform. At that point, I believe you ought to be regulated by something called the First Amendment, which I thought we still had in this country, but I guess not. So that was just my little rant on social media. That's my view on whether or not they have the right to censor people. I don't think they do. Speaking of what's been going on lately when it comes to the riots and things like that, Missouri couple points guns at protesters marching past their home. I found this to be interesting. So essentially, there was a couple in St. Louis. I'll just read you the article here. A couple in St. Louis is facing backlash on social media after images and videos showed them aiming guns at protesters marching past their home on private road. Here's how you can tell. One of many reasons that the fake news is fake. Of course, that's why I call them the fake news, because they're fake, because they don't tell you the truth, because they distort the truth, because it's narrative-driven news. Yahoo News is garbage. This is actually from the Huffington Post, which is a leftist rag. But notice they call them protesters. These are not protesters. They're using the word protester, but I don't think they know what that word actually means, because protesters don't go around assaulting people and destroying private property like the rioters have been doing over the last month here in June in response to George Floyd. Those are rioters. Those are not protesters. And these rioters invaded this neighborhood in St. Louis and were threatening to destroy this individual's private property. And they came very close to his private property. So that man exercised his Second Amendment right. He stood outside of his very large home, by the way, with what appears to be an AR-15. His wife had a 9mm pistol in her hand, and they guarded their private property. Footage showed the couple, one with a pistol and the other with what appeared to be a semi-automatic rifle, shouting, they would have shot at him if they tried anything, if their lives were in danger, shouting at the protesters and waving the weapons around. At times, they appear to be pointing the firearms toward the demonstrators. I would do this too. There, I said it. I would do this too. I would ensure that my family is protected from violent rioters. They're not protesters. They're people who hate civility. And let me just tell you this right here. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 22, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. If somebody breaks into your home to try and steal something in the middle of the night, and you shoot them dead to protect yourself and to protect your family and to protect your private property, there shall no blood be shed for him according to the word of God. In 2 Kings chapter 11, guess what? God's house contained weapons, because God is pro-gun, whether you like it or not. Libtard Christians, Christians, quote unquote, whether you like it or not. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22? Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus literally commands his disciples, go buy swords. Why would he do such a thing if he didn't want them to potentially have to use it, if he didn't want them to protect themselves? Self-defense is biblical. You are not a man if you don't protect yourself and you don't protect your family, your wife, and your children. They rely on you for protection. They rely on you for shelter. They rely on you to step up like a man and make sure you destroy anyone who would try and hurt them, anyone who would put their life in jeopardy. But there are a lot of fake men out there, effeminates, a bunch of limp-wristed, softy, sissy libtards who claim the Bible teaches that self-defense is wrong, lethal force is wrong in all cases, and God is somehow anti-gun. That couldn't be further from the truth. Let's talk about COVID-19 for a minute here. Anthony Fauci is warning it would be unlikely for the population to reach herd immunity if too many people refuse the vaccine. Think about this for a moment here. He's saying that if too many people reject the vaccine, that COVID essentially isn't going to be cured or solved or whatever word you want to attach to this. Now, why is this important? Because this is what's going to be pumped through television and the newspaper constantly when this vaccine is ready, to guilt people into taking it, saying, well, if you don't take it, the COVID-19 virus isn't going to go away, and those who refuse the vaccine are going to be looked at as domestic terrorists. Not Antifa, by the way, that go out and assault people and destroy private property. No, it's going to be Bible-believing Christians and others who reject the vaccine that are looked at as domestic terrorists for rejecting it, because right now they're starting it here June 29th, 2020. Before this vaccine hits the public, Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of the nation's leading experts, it says, on infectious diseases, warned Sunday that it's, quote, unlikely the U.S. will achieve herd immunity to the coronavirus if a portion of the population refuses to get a coronavirus vaccine. Well, I can guarantee you a portion of the population will refuse to get a coronavirus vaccine. That is going to happen. In an interview that aired Sunday as part of the Aspen Ideas Festival, Fauci said he would settle for a coronavirus vaccine that is between 70 and 75% effective, quote, because that would bring you to that level that would be herd immunity level. But when asked by CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen whether the U.S. can get to herd immunity if 25% of the population refuses to get a coronavirus vaccine with that rate of effectiveness, Fauci said, no, unlikely. That's one of the reasons why we have to make sure we engage the community, he says, as we're doing now to get community people to help us, for people to understand that we're doing everything we can to show that it's safe and that it's effective, and it's for the good of them as individuals in society to take the vaccine. It's for the good of them, Anthony Fauci says. It's good for you to inject yourself with a cancer-causing agent. It's good for you to inject yourself with aborted baby parts. PBS reports aborted fetal cells used in vaccines. That's not me just making it up. It's good for you to inject poison into yourself so you can be immune from COVID-19. To my knowledge, and somebody in the chat room can correct me, to my knowledge, there has never been a vaccine for a respiratory illness. This will be the first one, and yet people are going to line up to take it in droves. Unbelievable. Scare Glow in the chat room says they're going to demonize vaccine rejectors. Absolutely, they already are. With this kind of rhetoric coming from Anthony Fauci, they already are, in a way, demonizing vaccine rejectors. MG says, to hell with the coronavirus vaccine. Amen to that. This person says, the media is leftist propaganda. Underwriting department says, Ben is as real as it gets. Well, I appreciate that. 80 shares, all this PC stuff going on despite Trump, God's chosen, being elected. Election doesn't matter. All this PC BS will happen no matter who gets elected. Thank you for mentioning that, 80 shares in the chat room. It's something I forgot when I was talking about Trump. Notice Donald Trump's elected president right now, and yet the censorship is higher than it's ever been. It's more severe than it's ever been. His own supporters getting kicked off platforms. Christian censorship, worse than it's ever been. All with Trump in office. Now look, it could be worse with Joe Biden. It probably will be worse with Joe Biden. But Donald Trump could be doing a lot more in this area. And I think he should be held accountable. All right. I didn't talk about this yet, but I think it's worth mentioning. Another thing that went on this month is Seattle was taken over by degenerate freaks. Teenager killed, another teen hurt in shooting near Seattle's Chop Zone. Originally, this was called Chaz, but then they changed the name to Chop. And this article says, police are investigating after a 16-year-old was killed and a 14-year-old was critically hurt in an early morning shooting Monday near Seattle's Capitol Hill Occupied Protest Zone, also known as Chop. So here's what happened. A bunch of deviants decided to take over a few city blocks in Seattle, and they created what was their own country. That's what they called it. Their own country. Chaz. This is not satirical here, folks. Okay, this really happened. They called this place Chaz. They took over some city blocks. The mayor of Seattle, a woman, by the way. More on that later. She was perfectly fine with this. She enabled it. And so these deviants, they took over some city blocks in Seattle, called it Chaz, eventually named it Chop, and this place is a den of smut and filth and violent crime, as evidenced by this article I'm sharing with you right now, where we're seeing multiple shootings reported in a short time period. Here, this one occurred at 3 in the morning. Seattle Police Department's 911 center received multiple calls of shots fired near 12th Avenue and East Pike Street, where barricades are still up, which the city tried to take down all weekend. Here's what's funny. Leftists claim to hate walls and guns, and yet this city that they created in Seattle is guarded by walls and guns. They literally have armed guards guarding the border, which they supposedly oppose strong borders. I like strong borders, by the way. But they supposedly oppose strong borders, and yet they had armed guards standing around with AR-15 rifles and other firearms guarding a strong border that was made up of a wall. How do you explain that one other than just these people are hypocrites? But what was this for? This was a protest, quote-unquote, by domestic terrorists of course, the George Floyd thing where they're claiming all police are bad. But what's funny is whenever violent crime occurs within this CHOP zone that they set up in Seattle, who do they call for help? The police! So they're calling the police all devils. They say all the police are devils, and yet when someone's shot, they call the police. And I even heard a story where somebody was shot, they called the police. The police didn't arrive fast enough for their liking, and they blamed the police for it. Well, you know what? Maybe the police would have arrived faster if you didn't take over the city and put up a barricade so you can act like degenerates. This thing is full of freaks. You can look this up if you want. I don't want to show you just because I don't want to defile your eyes, but the people who took over Seattle are literally freaks. They're all a bunch of freaks and weirdos who took this over. And they're, I guess, trying to make a statement. But when they call on the cops, They have no right to complain about how long it takes for the police to get there. And that's all I have to say about that. That's what went on this month. CHOP set up in the woman-run city of Seattle. It doesn't shock me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3 that women in authority, that is God's judgment on a nation. It's one of many ways in which God judges a nation when it ends up having females in a position of leadership. And we have that in America, in cities across the country. And the Seattle mayor, she enabled these freaks to take over her own city. What should have happened is the National Guard should have been called in to push them out by force, even if that involves lethal force. Yes, I said it, and I believe that wholeheartedly. I want to share a clip with you guys from my pastor because I thought this was some good preaching from Pastor Jonathan Shelley. When it comes to females in authority, what does Pastor Shelley think about female governors? What does he think about these female governors who are allowing their streets to be taken over by violent Antifa rioters? Well, let's see what he has to say.
One of the things that makes me really sick, that makes me really frustrated, is women governors. And if anything has taught me, recently there's been so many women governors. I actually looked it up. There's a women governor in Alabama, like currently, Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Michigan, New Mexico, Oregon, Rhode Island, and South Dakota. You know, the Bible says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." What kind of man has his wife as the governor? So what does your wife do? Oh, yeah, she's the governor. What do you do? You know, I wash the dishes, you know. I say, yes, ma'am. Like, what kind of weak dude, you know, has his wife ruling the state? I mean, this is weird. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 11. Let's see a woman who got too big for her boots. Or I say britches these days, right? Hillary Clinton's too big for her britches. She needs to trade her britches for a dress and grow her hair out and stand on trial for all the wickedness that she's done. 2 Kings chapter number 11. Here's a woman that got too big for her britches. Verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So obviously this is post-birth, but basically she just commits abortion, genocide on her whole family so that she can be a leader. Isn't that what a lot of women do today? They have to murder their own children consistently so that they can hold positions of authority. So they can go out and get a job, so they can go out and have high positions of authority, so they just murder their family. There's no new thing under the sun. Athaliah kills all the men so that she can rule, so that she can be in charge. And you know what? That's a shame when women are in charge. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, I'm not going to be turned there. Keep your finger because we're going to keep looking. Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. He says when children are in charge, they're oppressing you. Yep. When women are in charge, they're causing you to err, and they're causing to destroy all the way of your paths. They're destroying everything. There's a complete destruction. And look, women governors in this country are destroying America. They're oppressing America. They're ruining America. They need to step down and let a man get up and take charge of their state. They are not born the same way. I don't care what you think. A man's different than a woman. Amen. And there's a reason why God wants men to be in charge. Now, you say, why? Well, because men can actually enforce the laws that they create. Imagine. I mean, is he really going to think that a woman army is going to go and start taking over the world? What nation are you gonna take over? France? I mean, that might work. Okay, I don't know. I mean, aside from France and Canada, I mean, you really think women are gonna go in and take over other countries? You know, when they talk about women's suffrage, women's rights, you know, people would combat this. Say, look, women can't enforce the laws they create. It's just a true statement. It's just facts. Okay. They need a man to go there and protect them. And you know what? Athaliah didn't have a man to protect her. So what happens? Look at verse 10. And the captains over hundreds did the priests give King David spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guards stood every man with his weapons in his hand round about the king. So this is the young boy that grew up. He's 7 years old. It says, and from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar in the temple, he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and all the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar and as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. For the priest has said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. So what happens? Well, she cries about it, and then she gets killed. They just take over. Why? Because she's not capable of ruling by her own might, by her own strength. And women are horrible leaders. She killed her family. The kingdom of Judah went to serving, you know, the devil basically during her reign. They were not worshiping the Lord. There was all these people worshiping Baal at this time, and they had to get rid of them out of the land. Now, when we take this into a practical example, we could think of like the mayor of Seattle. The mayor of Seattle is Jenny Durkin. Now, Seattle, if you haven't heard about it by now, you probably have.
He goes into the Chaz situation, which I just talked about, but there she is. Mayor Jenny Durkin, Democrat from Seattle, who's perfectly fine with criminals taking over the streets of her city. But that's what happens when you have these women in charge. They're not supposed to be in leadership position. Does this mean women are inherently less valuable than men? No. And I understand that in Christ, there's neither male nor female. But that doesn't mean that men and women don't have different roles. Men are supposed to be leaders. Women are not supposed to be leaders. Women have a role, which is to be a godly housewife, mother, to guide the house. The Bible says, I'll just quote scripture in Titus chapter number 2. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Think of the magnitude of what I just said. That the word of God, that the Bible itself, that God's word be not blasphemed. That's how important it is for a woman to be in the right role, and for a man to be in the right role as well. Men are supposed to be strong protectors of the family, protectors of the home, going out and working hard to provide for their family. And any man who doesn't get a job to put food on the table is a loser, is a slothful loser. And if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. But that's besides the point. I thought that clip was great because Pastor Shelley doesn't hold back there. And he talks about some of the female governors ruining America. But also the scripture. And Athaliah, who ends up in a position of authority. And let's just say she was as far from godly as you can get. More resembles Jezebel than Hannah. I think I could leave it at that. He went through the passages for you in that clip. I really liked it. If you want more preaching from him, go to the Steadfast Baptist Church YouTube channel. We just had Brother Dylan Oz actually preach for us this past Sunday. I thought he did a really good job. Very articulate. He has structured sermons in a structured preaching style where it's easy to follow and goes by very quickly, in fact. So I definitely recommend check out more of Brother Dylan Awe's preaching. Well, folks, I want to end on a happy note, or a funny note, if you will. Most of you are probably familiar with Alex Jones. Well, there's this really funny folk song that I found on YouTube, which I'm sure probably some of you have seen, but I wanted to play this on the program because it's hilarious. Now, here's the thing about Alex Jones. He will rant. He will go crazy about the globalists, and he'll just get red-faced and just go nuts. But that's part of his appeal. That's what he does for entertainment purposes, I think, so that he's not boring. Okay, and by the way, somebody else in the chat room here, I do want to respond to this before I play this funny song. Moishe Plattenberg actually put something pretty good in the chat. Says, Trump has been worse than useless. He's passed way more gun control, stood impotently by, while the entire right wing has been purged from the internet and has sat and watched while the country burns. I can't argue with that. That's good. That's a good point right there. And I think that person is right. So I just wanted to say that real quickly here. But anyway, Alex Jones is hilarious when he gets going. And for those of you who've ever listened to his show, look, whether you love him or hate him, I'm sure people are going to put in the chat room, oh, Zionist and all that. Fine. Yeah, he is a Zionist. I'm not arguing that. I'm not endorsing him. If you don't want to listen to him, great. But if you have ever listened to Alex Jones, you know that he rants. And someone actually took one of his rants, one of his crazy rants, and turned it into a folk song. This is so funny. And I wanted to play it here for you guys. Check this out.
Store the paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. Little bones of Christian murderous scum. They're on giant death factories keeping babies alive. And selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video. Hillary's in the creepy weird sick stuff, man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink.
Obama and Hillary
both smell like sulfur.
I bet you that's true. That is not an image I wanted everybody to see. I apologize.
Literal vampire pot-belly goblins are hobbling round coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We'll start self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's self rising up against us. Millions of pointed people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna stare your daughter at the mall. Oh, oh, oh. We're gonna stare your wife, your son. Ooh. We're gonna stab you with a butcher knife, and then the police chief is gonna say, we love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. So good. Oh, so sweet.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning.
That's a perfect ending. I was watching Fox News as I was working out this morning. Literal vampire potbelly goblins are hobbling around coming after us. He's a character, that's for sure. I just thought that was great because, look, Alex, I agree with him sometimes, but even when he's right, he has a tendency to present truth in such a way that is so over the top that I feel like it does more harm than good. Even when he's ranting against Hillary or whatever, I mean, a lot of time he is right when he's doing that, okay? But the way he presents it is so wacky that I don't see anyone being persuaded. But I guess he's amassed a large audience, so it works for him. But this was so funny. We love our Somalis. We love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet. I was on the elliptical. Anyway, I thought that was good. I want to end with this. We had a little laugh there. But there are a lot of wicked people in the world. And so every once in a while, I feel like you just got to laugh. You just got to put a smile on your face and not get too worked up about it. The Bible does talk about wicked people in high places. Of course, the Bible does say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not shy about talking about that here on this podcast, and I've had several guests on. We even had somebody who used to be in the CIA on this program to talk about it. And look, a lot of the conspiracies are real. And if you go into this sort of thing with the understanding that there are a lot of people out there who hate you and want you dead, but then you obsess over that, you know what? It's going to make you a very miserable person. Okay? It's going to make you very depressed. And that's the problem with people who frequent InfoWars and who frequent all these conspiracy sites and who dive headfirst into all these conspiracy theories, who don't have the Word of God, who don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, because this sort of thing festers in their mind. They get obsessed with it, and then it depresses them because they think of this world as completely irredeemable, that there's no enjoyment in life, that there's nothing that can bring a smile to their face. Meanwhile, the Bible-believing Christian understands, yeah, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's no doubt about that, but at least we have church. At least we have like-minded believers we can fellowship with. I just went on a retreat, a men's retreat. That's why there was no podcast last week, because I wanted to rest. I needed rest for my retreat. That tells you how physical it was. A mighty men's conference with Steadfast Baptist Church, where we got to fellowship one with another and talk Bible and listen to great sermons and do things that men enjoy doing, playing sports. And we played King of the Hill and jumped off of tall platforms into a lake and had all sorts of fun. And that's the thing. When it comes to being a Christian and believing the Bible and getting involved, plugged into a New Testament church, you're going to see that, yeah, there's a lot of negative for sure. But you know what? You can create a positive social circle for yourself. So at the very least, on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, when you go to church, it's almost like you're walking into a bubble. And inside that bubble, everything's normal. People believe the Bible. People love God. Women dress like women, men dress like men. They hold common sense values. They're normal, right? When you step into that bubble called church, and it's great. And that's what you're missing if you're not saved. And that's also what you're missing if you're saved, but you're backslidden and you're not in church. I implore you to go to church. Please go to church. This podcast, look, yeah, it's fun to talk about some of this stuff every once in a while. Look at the news. I talk Bible doctrine is here as well, on here as well. The last episode I did, I touched on the Trinity and debunked some arguments against the Trinity. All that is great. But you know what I'm going to continue to emphasize on this live stream every single time I do it, or at least most weeks? Go to church. Make sure you get plugged into a church. Make sure that you're under good preaching. And folks, don't be one of those who thinks it's new IFB or bust. If there's no new IFB church in your area, you can serve God in an old IFB church. There are some really great old IFB churches out there that are right on the gospel and have a soul-winning program that wins people to Christ and is doing great things for the Lord. Yes, it exists. And of course, I love the new IFB. I'm not disparaging the new IFB, but we shouldn't develop this thinking that says only the new IFB is serving God. That's not true. There's plenty of really great old IFB churches out there. And all this leads me to this point. A lot of wicked people out there. There are a lot of things going on that you, if you love God, probably not happy about. I don't blame you. That's why you need to get in church to be around normal people and keep yourself sane. But also, pay attention to what the Bible says. Because we have to recognize God's going to take care of all these people. God's going to take care of Antifa. God's going to take care of Joe Biden. God's going to take care of Elizabeth Warren. God's going to take care of Black Lives Matter. God's going to take care of George Soros. God's going to take care of him. He's going to take care of the Seattle mayor who lets people set up the chop zone or whatever in her city, going around destroying private property, private businesses, and things of that nature. God will take care of them. Job chapter 21 says in verse number 7, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger." The wicked, they don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here in Job chapter 21 that they don't want to attain God's knowledge. They don't want God's knowledge. They don't want biblical wisdom. They want worldly wisdom. And it's that worldly wisdom they're going to carry with them all the way into the grave. Their life is but a vapor. It'll end one day. And when they go in the grave, if they're not saved, with which for these reprobates who are in charge right now, I can guarantee you they're not. They don't have this in their heart. They haven't believed on Christ. Yeah, they might prosper in this life. They're getting away with a lot right now, pushing an ungodly agenda, the Marxist, cultural Marxist agenda going on right now, the rioting going on right now, all the COVID craziness. But they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. God's going to take care of them. And of course, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I get that. But for these folks, it's too late. For a lot of these people in charge, it is too late for them, and God will take care of them. So we shouldn't get too hung up on the evils of this world. And Psalm 73, I want to read just a couple of verses out of this chapter because it reiterates this point. In Psalm 73, I'll start in verse number 12. It said, actually, I'll start in verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." So the psalmist is saying here, I was envious at the foolish. I was envious at these people because of their prosperity. And that's a temptation you're going to feel as a Bible-believing Christian, perhaps, as you look at these folks who seemingly are engaging in debauchery unabated. And in fact, they're amassing wealth and power. And it seems like they're getting away with it all. George Soros, I'm sure, has plenty of mansions all over the world and wealth that he enjoys. But you know what? Verse number 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors." Yeah, let them have their wealth. Let them have their prosperity. Let them have their power. Let them rise to the top of this political power structure. Let them rise to the top of whatever position of authority they're pursuing. Let them promote sodomy. Let them promote abortion and feminism and the destruction of the family. All that. Go ahead. Their destruction will come. "How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors." They will face the flames of hell. You won't. So don't ever envy these folks. Don't ever envy the wicked. Don't ever envy the prosperous. Unlike them, and I'm talking about the prosperous, obviously there are saved people who can be rich, but I'm talking about the elites, the New World Order, those who are in charge. Don't envy the materialism they have because you have something that's infinitely more valuable. It's called eternal life. And that's what I wanted to end with today in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible tells us, as I flip over there real quickly, Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." That's why I don't do a show like this every single week, because I don't want the Sword of the Spirit podcast to be a podcast where we don't think on these things in Philippians 4, 8, but rather just constantly talking about all the things that are going wrong. It's important, I think, to highlight those every once in a while, which I did tonight and will continue to do regularly, but I want to give you a mixed bag. Also talking Bible doctrine and other things as well right here on the show. But let's end with that right there. Philippians 4:8, let's think on good things despite what is happening around us, despite what is surrounding us right now as Christians. Despite how much more difficult it is to stand for what's right in a world where it's becoming more increasingly controversial to do so, instead of focusing on all the negativity, I say we focus on these things described in Philippians 4:8. Yes, acknowledging what's wrong and preaching hard against it, for sure. But I say we be in balance. The Bible's in balance. There's plenty of negative, but also some positive in there as well. That's what I'm going to end with here, as I went over plenty of bad news on the show. Hey, I say as Christians, let's just take out some popcorn, sit on the sidelines, and enjoy this thing burned to the ground, because we have eternal life and there's nothing anyone can do to take that away. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. I'm afraid of God. I want to live righteously. I want to go to church. I want to read my Bible and memorize scripture. Make sure I'm serving the Lord and getting people saved. That's what matters. If you ask yourself, well, what do we do about all these things you talked about on the show? I mean, the political correctness, and they're changing the brand names of syrup bottles. This is craziness. Chaz and chop and rioting and vaccines. How about you get people saved? Fight the spiritual battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. That's what Alex Jones is missing, because he's not saved. He thinks the answer is political. I think the answer is spiritual. Thanks for watching, everybody. I appreciate it. Let's say goodbye to the chat room here. CE says, amen. Keep preaching. Everybody needs to hear this. Thank you. KJV Baptist is in there as well. Amanda Lay says, enjoyed listening with my granddaughter, Sienna. God bless you, Brother Ben. Well, hello to Sienna. Appreciate you listening to the podcast with Amanda Lay. Scare Glow says, yep, Alex Jones is good in some ways, but bad in others. He said they, NWO, used him to get knowledge of them to the people. Yeah, Alex has some positives, but you know what? He doesn't go far enough and is not even saved. So there you go. And everyone else in the chat room, I really appreciate you tuning in. I'll be back again next week for another episode of this podcast. You can check out the archive if you'd like at benthebaptistkjv.com. Benthebaptistkjv.com is the place to go. Every episode that's ever been recorded is on there. You can stream the audio, you can download the MP3, or you can just watch the YouTube version on the site. Podcast is also on Spotify. Use the keyword Ben the Baptist. The Stitcher radio app, and Apple Podcasts. God bless you all. I will talk to you guys again after a while.